I'm looking for all the ugly ties. Who's got an ugly tie? John. John, that's an ugly tie. I have an ugly tie in my pocket. I used to wear them, but what happens, here's what happens. When I wear them, because you're watching me for, 40 minutes or whatever, well, then you get used to it, so it's not near as ugly. So I got it in my pocket so that afterwards I can put it on, and then it's fresh and new for everybody. We were going to do the ugly guy contest, but we figured that would probably offend somebody, so that's why we do the ugly tie contest. The gift that you got, fellas, is pretty cool. Actually, I've already read it, sorry. It talks about God's direction and how to plan this great road trip. It's really good stuff, but here's what's so funny. Are you familiar with the saying, the white elephant in the room? In other words, something that nobody's saying, but everybody knows is true. For instance, I'll give you the greatest example I can. As you know, my family and I, we go to Disney World. Well, when Daryl and Charity had moved to Seattle, just the cost of their airfare to Disney World would have been like, $5,000 or whatever. I mean, there's seven of them, okay? So they said, hey, how about this year, instead of going to Disney World, let's go to Disneyland. And we're like, yeah, sure. So that's what we did. And we get to Disneyland. For those of you who don't know, Disney World has like four parks. Disneyland is kind of like a 50-year-old Magic Kingdom in Disney World. So it's totally not Disney World. Well, the kids, all they had known was Disney World. So all of us, the white elephant in the room was, we didn't want to be at Disneyland. We wanted to be at Disney World. But we're not going to complain. Obviously, the adults aren't going to say nothing, and the kids are too little. So, yeah, we're grateful. So we're like 3 days at Disneyland, and Zach was probably four maybe, and he's playing with some Tonka toys or whatever on the ground, and we're all in this kitchen and stuff, and he looks up and goes to me, he goes, Doodad, can we go to Disney World? Everybody busted out laughing because that was the white elephant in the room. You get it? It's like nobody had said it, but that's exactly what we were all thinking, and he finally just said it. So, and needless to say, we haven't gone back to Disneyland. We still go to Disney World. I say that to say because that this book that I was looking at, the little booklet that you got is really cool, but there's a white elephant in the room that I want to expose today, and that is we can't do this where, it says God's direction is best. Well, God's direction is best, but we need to be on the same road. And we get the cart before the horse, I think. And so, having said that, I want to read to you something that's I call the Gospel According to Dr. Seuss. And just so you know, Dr. Seuss was a believer. I think he's dead now. I say was. I'm assuming he's dead. But there's times where somebody will say something about somebody, and I'm like, I thought they were dead. You ever done that? Somebody famous, I thought they were dead. Well, no, they're alive, at least today. Anyway, so here it is. This is called The Zode in the Road, written by Dr. Seuss. Did I ever tell you about the young Zode who came to two signs at the fork of the road? One said place one and the other place two. So the Zode had to make up his mind what to do. Well, the Zode scratched his head and his chin and his pants, and he said to himself, now I'll be taking a chance. If I go to place one, that place may be hot, so how will I know if I like it or not? On the other hand, though, I'll feel such a fool if I go to place two and find it's too cool, so place one may be best. Well, on the other hand, though, if place one is too high, I may get a terrible earache and die. On the other hand, though, if place two is too low, I might catch a terrible strange pain in my toe. So place one may be best. So he started to go, and he stopped, and he said, on the other hand, though, on the other hand, though, on the other hand, though. And for 36 hours and a half, that Zode made starts and made stops at that fork in the road, saying, no, don't take a chance. You may not be right. Then he got an idea which was wonderfully bright. Play safe, cried the Zode. Play safe. I'm no dunce. I'll simply start to both places at once. And that's how the Zode, who would not take a chance, got to no place at all with a split in his pants. Got to no place at all with a split in his pants. You see the gospel in it? Because I sure do. You know, all throughout the history of the Bible and really mankind, we've always had to choose. In fact, we're going to read a scripture that you're very familiar with where Joshua says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, we all know that scripture, but I want to preface it with the understanding of what happened. Joshua, you know, Moses, God wouldn't let Moses go into the promised land, and Moses died, and in the very beginning of Joshua chapter 1, in fact, Joshua's obviously a young man, Joshua's a warrior, and God put him in charge as Moses had died. He said, "Moses is dead, now you be strong and courageous, and you do what you do." Well, and that's what he did, and he did it, he took the people in, and we all know the story of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down, and Ai, and as you go. But here's what I want you to see. Most of the time, we kind of stop after reading chapter 3 and just go on to something else. But Josh, when he got older, well, by the way, just so you know, he led the people, and they conquered overall 31 kings in the promised land, all right? So this dude was pretty awesome. But as you get to the end of the life, he's doling out the land, and God had some... He had promised some land to some folks. God had some extra land. Anyway, God's doling out the land. But the last two chapters, 23 and 24, 23, Joshua, the Bible says, is very old. And he calls in his leadership. And he tells them, and he explains to them what God has done. He talks to them about what God has done, all the 31 kings, what God has done. And he says, be sure and obey the law of instruction, which is the law. The Torah is what the literal word in the Hebrew is, which is the Jewish Torah. Be sure, and basically he says, you obey it to the T, and you will be blessed. But if you don't, you won't. Now here's what's so ironic in that. When you think of that, and you study Scripture and you read Scripture, Jesus even made it clear, you can't keep the law. None of us can keep the law. Well, how can God be so cruel to say, you obey everything in this, and you will be blessed, but you can't do it, so no one will be blessed. Well, what we got to understand is incorporated in the Torah, in the law, was the sacrificial system, ladies and gentlemen. So to obey it to the T, you had to obey it to the point of the sacrifice, which means what? It was the sacrifice of the animals that did that. So anyway, he explains all this, and he tells his leaders. And then we move into chapter 24, where he calls all the people together. And he begins to share from the get-go how they went into the promised land and how God did this. And God, well, he actually goes back further than that. He starts with Abraham and what God did for Abraham. And he basically helps them remember how great God is. Okay? Let me tell you something. Until you really understand how great God is, you won't be able, you'll be frustrated. Because what happens is there's a ton of Christians that are frustrated with God. And it's simply because they're wanting His direction, but they're not on the same road. And what I mean by that is the same road is believing and loving and knowing who He is. And Him being totally, absolute, total who we are. It's what even David was talking about that this morning when he's talking about his testimony. He's supposed to be dead, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. David's supposed to be dead, but he's not because he just said, yep. But see, you get what I'm saying. So here's the scripture that we all know, but I wanted to preface it so you get it. He says, so he had just shared how awesome God was and what God had done, and God had given them all this promised land, given them all the land that they wanted. He said, so because of that, fear the Lord. Fear meaning stand in awe of His greatness. Give glory to Him. In other words, raise His opinion and His reputation in your own sight. So fear the Lord and serve Him with your whole heart. Put away forever the idols that your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then pick something. You get it. I could just hear, do you not ever did that with your children? Make up a mind. Pick something. What do you want to eat? Pick something. Do you want the stupid chicken nuggets or do you want a hot dog? Pick something. Because the people waiting there, you know, can I take your order? Yeah. Well, I just pick something. But if you refuse to, then choose today who you're going to serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, because I understand what God has done and where He's brought me, we will serve the Lord. That's the choice that I'm talking about. We can't, we have to wholeheartedly believe and love and serve and get this Jesus thing far before we can ever have direction. You can't give direction to something you don't believe in and really believe. And then another one that comes to mind, and this is another one that we're all familiar with. Where am I at here? Is in Kings where Elijah, you remember the story where Elijah calls all the prophets together and all this stuff. I'll get there in a second. Here's the, before I read it to you, because again, this is another thing where we have to make a decision. We got to choose. Are we going to serve? And when I say serve God, I'm not. Are we going to believe God and who He is and what He really is in our life? We're going to really believe it, because in this story, Elijah was on the scene. Well, back up. So we're in Kings, and so I don't know if you remember, the Israel people wanted a king. They didn't need a king. God was their king, but they wanted a king, so God gave them a king. You remember the story? And Saul became their king. Well, then every king was stinking corrupt. Why? Because he's human. I'm thinking God could be better, as super-duper supernatural better than... Anyway, so as you read through Kings, it's like, and so Jehoshaphat, he was king, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Well, then this one comes along, and he wouldn't do evil, so he tore down the idols. And this one come along, and he did evil, even worse than Josiah did evil. And then you get to Ahab, who is this guy, and the Bible says Ahab was more evil than any of the other kings put together. And then what's so funny is it says he was so evil he was worse than any other kings put together. And not only that, he married Jezebel. So it's like, oh, you want to be evil? Then add an evil woman with him. This dude was evil. Well, then Elijah kind of just poofs onto the scene. And so I want you to see that the leadership was evil, and the people, because they don't have any leadership or because they didn't really ever believe in God, They would vacillate between worshiping God and worshiping junk. The Asherah pole that would be made and all this stuff. So I say all that to say it finally got to the point where God was tired of it, and he used Elijah, and this is what happened. Here's what Elijah says. It says, so Ahab summoned, Elijah had told him, by the way, Elijah went up to him, I love this, because Ahab had gone to Elijah because he was scared of Elijah, and he said, oh, there you are, you troubler of Israel. And Elijah said, I'm not the trouble of Israel, you are, you evil king. He says, you bring all your boys, bring all your, he was, Ahab, the Bible says, again, that he worshipped Baal, and he even built a temple. And this is an Israeli king. He built a temple for this goofy Baal thing, God. And then the Asherah pole, that was another thing that they would worship. They would kill children and sacrifice it to these supposed gods. And so Elijah had had enough people of Israel and the prophets to Mount Carmel. Then Elijah stood in front of them. In front of who? In front of the church. In front of Israel. In front of the people who were supposed to believe that God is their only God. And he says, how much longer are you folks going to waver hobbling between two opinions? Pick something. You want nuggets or a hot dog? Chocolate. Hey, that reminds me, by the way, now you said that. Just so you know, we get food donated here. We got corn dogs donated, chocolate chip corn dogs. Oh, wow. Yeah, you can't have any, Johnny. Would you see this? A drool started right down his cheek, right when I said, "No, the bread part has chocolate chips in it." It didn't sound good to me, but for you chocolate freaks, I'm sure it's awesome. It's kind of like now, chocolate to a lot of you females, especially for some reason you like chocolate. My chocolate is bacon. You got it? So now, had I said they were wrapped in bacon, you see that now both sides would start melting. Done. That's got nothing to do with anything I'm talking about. Between two opinions, thank you, Sister Van Zant. God bless your soul. If the Lord is God, he said, then follow him. But if Baal's going to be your God, then follow him. Pick somebody. Pick something, man. Let me tell you, there's nothing worse than trying to do both. There really isn't. Man, I did this as a child. I had my friends at school that I smoked dope with and tested all kinds of crazy drugs with. I mean, back in those days, we didn't, you don't even know these drugs. Everybody knows LSD. Nobody knows about mescaline. We did this stuff called mescaline that was crazy, make you nuts. John, you shouting it down? Okay. And so I did that. But then I had church friends, right? So I had church. And thank God, back in those days, we didn't have malls, but we did have the little strip malls. Or we would put a buck worth of gasoline and drive up and down the strip, right? But here's what would happen. I would be someplace, at, like, say, Furs Cafeteria, and in would walk some school friends, and in would walk some church friends, and I'm the squirrel in the middle of the street. Not can't decide which way to go, and I get run over by the car, right? That's who I, why? Because I hadn't picked. I didn't pick nobody. You know, it's what Bob Dylan wrote the song. You got to serve somebody. Pick something. So, and I just love this because the theme throughout all of this is pick something. In other words, if you want bail, then pick them. Don't be miserable. There's nothing worse than walking, especially fellas, if we walk and then we straddle the fence. It hurts. But if bail's God, then follow him. But look, the people were completely silent. Why? Because they knew. And then as the story goes on, he has the Baal, 450 Baal prophets. He said, you pick whichever cow you want to sacrifice. You go first. There's 450 of you. There's just one of me. Pick your cow, kill it, and then call fire from heaven from your God. And so they did. They picked their cow. They killed it. Bible says that they kept doing all this crazy stuff. They were cutting themselves till they were bleeding. And then Elijah decided, he starts mocking them. He's like, where's your God at, man? Maybe you should scream a little bit louder. Maybe he's in the toilet. And it's exactly what the word said. Maybe he's in the toilet. Maybe he's asleep. Scream louder. So they're all the way to the nighttime, man. And then they finally, they give up, right? So Elijah calls the people over, the Israel people. And he says, kill the cow, put it in there. Yep. Okay, now pour water in there. And the Bible says he pours about 3 gallons of water. Because this wasn't, we had this picture, this huge thing. It was just an altar. And then he said, well, pour some more. So he poured a second time. Pour more. The third time till the water was just pouring out over it. And then he looks up at him and says, God, you're God. Prove to these people you're God. Do this. Bam. Zoop. It's all consumed and stuff. And the Bible says the people of Israel fell down on the ground, and they didn't say, oh, we love you, God. They fell down on the ground and said, he is God. He is God. And then a week later, they're back doing their own thing. They didn't pick. Well, they did pick. So, I say all that to say, in that whole thing, cheers, that we have to choose. We have to choose, or we're going to go nowhere and split our pants. I've told you before, and it's true, Confucius said this, he who chases two rabbits catches neither. Right? James said it this way. But if any of you lack wisdom, Sophia, by the way, is the word wisdom. So if you know anybody that's named Sophia, if you're going to have a child and you want someone that says wisdom, Sophia is the one to pick. If any of you lacks wisdom, isn't it interesting to you that it's important that James is talking about who lacks wisdom? Wisdom. And you, all the Proverbs is about wisdom. It's not about your lack of love, your lack of peace, your lack of joy. It's about wisdom. You know why? Because wisdom incorporates all of that. So if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously without reproach. In other words, without you gotten to do something. And it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts, diakrino, is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded. I love this. You want to say dip, don't you? Dip, you dip. Actually, if you're going to separate it, it's two different words, die and psychos, which is psyche. And die means twice. So what it means is, any of you receive anything, because a double-minded, those of you who have two thought patterns in your mind, you are going to believe or you're not going to believe. You are going to, you get what I'm saying? when you got two things in your mind, you are unstable. I love this word because of the way it's pronounced. It's akatastatos. Akatastatos. I had to practice that forever. Ha. Makes you want to play karate. Ha. He's unstable in all his ways. Let me stay on my notes. Wisdom. Watch this. Wisdom is far more than just knowledge, and it's far more than just common sense. Which, by the way, common sense just ain't common too much anymore. But, you know, common sense, I know people who are brilliant, but ain't got a lick of common sense. Common sense being, of course you're going to get wet. Roll your window up, it's raining. Or put your top up, it's raining. You get what I'm saying? That's common sense. And but then there's knowledge. So knowledge, by the way, wisdom is far more than just knowledge. Knowledge is the grasping of facts. And ladies and gentlemen, in all honesty, most of us got a head full of facts. We know facts. As diverse as farmers and scientists, farmers have a lot of facts and knowledge in their head. Farmers have a lot of wisdom too. But the farmers and scientists and businessmen and mechanics and all these people, we got facts. But wisdom's not a head full of facts or not just knowing about life. Wisdom, and again, I'm going with the original language, wisdom is seeing and knowing what to do about life. In fact, even Webster's Dictionary says this, that wisdom means the ability to make right use of knowledge. It's one thing to know, it's another thing to make right use of it. So without wisdom, we're double-minded. Again, it's dipsychos, and it's the two. We have two completely different thought patterns in our mind, in our soul, and in our heart. It's the battle that we always battle. This is that whole thing that Elijah and Joshua said, pick something, man. Pick one of those patterns, because otherwise you're going to be miserable. There's nothing worse than trying to play both sides of the fence, I'm telling you. So we have to pick this thing. So, and here's what's interesting to me. Life creates a need for wisdom. Life creates a need for us to gain wisdom. And by the way, wisdom is, again, putting feet to what the Word tells us and what God says. That obedience thing that we're always wanting, it has all to do with wisdom. And so but without this wisdom, we become double-minded. And that word unstable means we're fickle, we're restless, we're erratic, we're troubled, we're fretful, we worry all the time because we honestly don't believe. We can't get direction from God if we don't think His direction is the direction to go. We just can't. And so here's the thing. Look at this scripture. This is same James, different chapter, same James, but here's the truth. Who's wise? In other words, who's got wisdom and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, not by his good deeds, and the good deeds of what I'm not doing and what I'm doing, but by his good life, by deeds that are done in humility that come from what? From wisdom. Wisdom instructs us the ways to go. That's why, man, again, you go Proverbs. It's just all talking about, and wisdom is called a she. Wisdom is this, and she is this, and trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean to your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in everything, and He'll give you wisdom. He'll direct your path, and wisdom this, and wisdom that, and we all want to be wise. Take the pebble out of my hand, garazaba. And that's not what wisdom is either. Wisdom is wisdom is not, I'm better than you, smarter than you, no more than you. Wisdom is walking Jesus out in your life. And when you really get to that point, it becomes pretty awesome. Here's what Jesus said. I hate to bring him up, sorry. Just playing. Anybody who listens to my teaching and follows it. It's one thing to know, ladies and gentlemen. It's another thing to put feet to your knowing. This is what, again, drives me crazy about people who think that what I teach has nothing to do with doing. It has all to do with doing. It's just doing what Jesus told us to do. And what Jesus told us to do was to love people we don't like. And we don't want to do that because it's a whole lot easier to do the Ten Commandments. Don't steal. I didn't steal, so I'm good. No, but you hate him, so you're not good. Jesus said so. Oh, we got to bring Jesus up. Yeah, I can make it hard for you because it is hard. It's impossible. It's impossible to love like he wants us to love. But it ain't about me. Yeehaw. It's about him. So as I'm hanging with him and flowing with him, then there's something in me that I accidentally stay on the right path with him. His lamp is my feet, and the light is my path. The word is the path. The word is the path. The word is the path. Read the word. Get the word. Understand the word. Eat the word. Nod. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Chew on me, eat me, understand me, get me. And when you do, you're going to start loving like him and serving others like him, because that's the only reason he came. He did not come to stack up the disciples in a certain pecking order so that they could be awesome for the rest of their life. He came, he said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and to give my life for a ransom, man. That's who he is. He's not here to help us look better. He's here to love people to be better. So anybody who listens to my teaching, Jesus said, follows it, is wise. Like a person who builds a house on a rock. Though the rain comes and the torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's on the rock. Stop asking God to remove your trial and start asking God for wisdom. You get it? This is what he's saying. Build it on something. So who saw him? Ain't nobody else solid but him. And it won't collapse. Now look, but anybody who hears, no, you're good. But anybody who hears my teaching and doesn't obey what? Listen and follow. What did he teach? Read what he taught. It is not easy, but it's awesome. It really is, man. He taught us to love people that we hate. He taught us to go the extra mile. He taught us to do to people the way that we want to be done to ourselves. He said it. He taught, do this because it has nothing to do with you. It has all to do with others. So he says, but anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is a fool. Like a person who builds his house on the sand, man, the house can look pretty. House is going to look pretty. You can make it look. You can. That one that's built on the rock and that one that's built on the sand can be identical. They can look awesome. But when the storm comes, that's when you're going to find out whose direction you're following. You get it? I've had some storms in my life. And somehow I had built my house on a little bit of solid ground. It's amazing how good God is. So when the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it's going to collapse with a mighty crash. Is that all I have? Did I all? But I don't remember. I'll look at my notes. That's why I always have my notes. Yeah, that is. So again, we're instructed to hear and to do wisdom, not to ask for trial removal. And then I want to close with one of the most coolest, powerful things that Jesus basically said, pick something. And we have always taken it and we have just turned it to how mean that God seems to be. Here it is. This is my closing statement. Nobody, Jesus said, can serve two masters. And we can't. We really can't, guys. You just can't do both. For you're going to hate one and love the other. And you're going to be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God, and this is exactly what this means. And be enslaved to money. Now, is that not amazing to me, and I hope to you, that out of everything that Jesus could have said, because when we say we can't serve two masters, immediately we're thinking, okay, I can't serve Jesus and I can't serve the devil. That's not what he's saying. The devil's kind of sly little goat, isn't he? Jesus is saying you can't do both. You can't do both. You can't be enslaved to money, and you can't. Now, here's what I love about him. We have taken just that little block of scripture and we have run with it and just hammered folks about money. Just, you know, for whatever reason. Watch. I told you a while ago about how the law If you're going to follow the law perfectly, that includes the sacrifices. So that includes the sin offering. So that includes for a full year, you get to go, you get to be scotch-free for a full year in those sacrifices. Some of the people of Israel didn't follow the sacrifices, obviously. They were following other gods. That's why their lives were so screwed up. The ones who followed the law to the T, which incorporated this, you get it. So Jesus is so, look at this. So you can't serve God and be enslaved to money. Here we go. That is why I tell you. What is why I tell you? I just told you you can't serve two masters. I just told you you can't serve God and your every thought be about money. In other words, when you wake up in the morning, are you thinking about Jesus? Are you thinking about, oh my God, this is due, this is pay, got to do this, I'm going to get a side job, and I'm going to win the lottery. Where's my head? But look what he says. I tell you all that. I just told you that because I have a way out. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? We all know the scripture. Look at the birds. Think of that. Look at those stupid birds. Some birds I like, some birds I don't. Are y'all that way? I think I like the parrot, but I don't think I'd want one because I want to tell it to shut up. You know, not only that, it repeats what you say. And I don't think that'd be healthy either. Well, in my house it would be, but if it was like in my car, no. If I had a parrot in my car, God help us all, you'd be going, man, where'd you hear that word? It was gay. She was driving it, and that's just who she is. That's exactly how she talks all the time. Y'all know that was a big old lie. Wow. I mean, you know, if you're going to lie, you might as well make it big and huge. No reason to just do a little white lie, you know. So, look at the birds, because they don't plant, they don't harvest, they don't store food in barns. We got my house, we have a bird feeder, because we have beautiful birds that come, red birds and blue birds, and we have a bird feeder that automatically drops the food, like every 3 hours. So the birds got it timed now. They'll eat, and then they'll come back, and then when it's empty, I'm not kidding you, when the thing's empty, they like sit up there going, what? Where's our food? And I'm like, you lazy bird, go get your own. But look, this is what God's saying. Those birds don't have any responsibility. But yet, he says, enough. Whether you have enough, that's why I tell you not to worry about every life, everything you do. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in the barns, but God feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Therein lies the problem. Therein lies the problem. We don't believe that we are. But we really are far more valuable than those birds. In fact, if you really study Scripture out, and you'll study out the parables, and you'll study out the pearl of great price that we've taught wrong forever. The pearl of great price, we've always taught that we need to give up everything and that Jesus is the pearl of great price. That is not true, man. Study the goofy thing out. We're the pearl of great price. Jesus gave up everything. Do you hear me? Jesus gave up everything and saw us as that pearl. Now, some of y'all are actually going to study that out, and I'm glad. Can all your worry... Wait, let me back up for a second. Just see where I was. Make sure my brain's where it needs to be. I said that. And aren't you far more valuable than that? Yes, and you are, believe it or not. Now, sorry, thank you. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? I wish I could grab this in my heart all the time. I can't tell you when God's not working and moving as fast as I decided he needs to be moving. How I get like this. Can I add a moment to your life? No, but it sure can take away, huh? And why do we worry about clothing? I don't. I kind of dress like a little Catholic girl. I wear pretty much the same thing every day, like fire department stuff. But why do we worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't even work, man, and they make their clothing. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. So let's stop here for a second and go. And Jesus had just said, you can't serve God and serve money. But then he just explains. I just love him. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he'll certainly care for you, won't he? Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry. Be happy. Sorry, I'm in a 3D moment right now. So don't worry about these things, saying, what am I going to eat? What will I drink? How am I going to get this new car? How am I going to pay my bill? How am I going to do this? Man, I overextended here. God's not going to bless me because I made a stupid decision. How am I going to... What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? How am I going to pay my bill? What will we wear? Watch this. These things dominate the unbeliever. Dominate the unbeliever. I didn't say non-Christian, the unbeliever. You get it? And we know these people, and we know that we are these people at some points in time. Those thoughts dominate the unbeliever. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. But seek first, I say this all the time, y'all, His kingdom, and first, His righteousness. Again, y'all, you ain't got none. Stop it. Quit it. You can't get there. You ain't got it. Yours is filthy as rags. The word's very clear. You can't do it. Stop it. His is perfection. His righteousness is everything we need. I ain't got none of my own. It's His righteousness. I'm declared righteous because of what? His righteousness. You get it. So seek Him first and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well, literally, if you study it out. And every bit of your life will fall into place. Wouldn't there be peace in that? If we could walk in that kind of understanding and that kind of wisdom, knowing that no matter what situations are coming toward me and at me, I can walk in the peace of knowing that my life is going to fall into place just as God desires and determines. How cool is that? There's where peace is. There's where rest is. And what I love about the Word, man, study out. I'm telling you, study out the Old Testament. Study out the folks. As they walked through all that turmoil, the children of Israel, and they griped and they complained and everything, the whole time God is telling them, I'm walking you in a place of rest. You are in a place of rest. You are in a place of rest. Now, they never were walking in rest because of their own choices of not believing and pick a side here, folks. Pick Baal or pick God. If they would have just picked God, then they would have understood that. Oh, He's walking them in rest. He's walking them in peace. He's walking them in rest. So therefore what? Because when you seek His kingdom first and His righteousness and everything, your focus is on Him and not you, and your life falls into place because of that, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. And tomorrow will worry about itself because each day's got enough trouble of its own. I quote that scripture so much to people, because we all know 34, you know, seek Him first and His righteousness and all these things will be added unto you, but we don't know the next verse. And don't worry about tomorrow, because today's got enough trouble of its own. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Tomorrow never comes. I've told you that a million times. There's this is my favorite story. That's a sign at Hofbräu's. There's a sign at Hofbräu's, David, at the bar. It says, free beer tomorrow. Free beer tomorrow. And I've been going there 20 years, ain't got a free beer yet. What's up with that? Because tomorrow will become today. Do today well, ladies and gentlemen. Do today well, and when tomorrow becomes today, do that well. And then you can look at your life, and maybe for a full week, you've done some pretty good stuff. Right? So, I close with these last thoughts that are written on paper. God's direction is found in choosing Him and only Him. And many Christians are frustrated with this, with life, because of this. They can't understand why God doesn't work in their life. Listen to me. You've got to throw it all in with God. Again, the white elephant in the room isn't God's direction. It's, are you going to want to be on His path? And the coolest thing is, ladies and gentlemen, for years and years and years, I thought it was a mean path. Man, it's not. His path is abundant. His path is for me, not against me. He is so awesome. And I admit I am not. So, bottom line is, Jesus is not an option. He's really our only choice. And when He is, and fellas, I'm talking to you, because this is Father's Day. We'll just bring it down home. When he is, our journey of relationship begins. Because Jesus' invite is not to a set of beliefs or a doctrine of tenets. You know, what do you believe? What do you believe? I believe Jesus. What do you believe? Well, you know, the Nazarenes, they believe instant sanctification. What do you believe? Well, I believe that Jesus did it all and I didn't do nothing. If that's instant, go be there. So whatever. What do you believe? Well, I believe that Jesus is who he said he is. So the journey doesn't start with us. Hear me? Your journey doesn't start with us. It starts with Jesus. Jesus is the one that said, tetelestai, it's finished. He's the one that said it, not us. And so it's from that finished position that we go and do life. How cool is that? And the journey, and so my last thought is choose his road today. And I promise you, as you read in that little booklet, fellas, it'll be the best road trip of your life. It's really true. I'm done. Wait, I got to pull out my ugly tie.
Let me ask you a question. If you go to the doctor and they tell you that only half of your heart is working, do you think you're going to get a good report or a bad one? Do you think that if only half of your heart is working, you'd be able to get up in the morning and go to work? And no. I've known some people like that, and I can tell you, they're in bed and they're generally on machines to help them do what their heart isn't doing. But are you understanding that if you're double-minded, you're half-hearted? And I want to read to you out of Matthew 22:37, and this is from the Passion Translation, what he says. Because they're asking him, what's the greatest law? Because they love the law. What's the greatest law, commandment of all? And Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. See, the thoughts guide the heart. And if I'm half-hearted in serving, that's an open door for the enemy to condemn me and accuse me and fault find me. And today, we're going to shut that door. I'm going to ask you today, if it's in your heart now to say, I am making that commitment today that I am going to believe Jesus is who he says and that I will stand and I'm going to put him at the front of my decisions. I want you to stand with me. Guys, this isn't just a recommitment. This is a recommissioning. I believe that God is walking among us right now, inside of us, in our hearts where we dwell, and that he is saying to us, I'm giving you a new commission today. Just simply believe me. And I'm going to take you down paths that you wouldn't normally go. I said it last week, and I'm saying it to myself all the time. This is plan A. There's no plan B with Jesus. This is plan A. According to the word, there's trials and tribulations. This is plan A, but there's provision in plan A. If you get off into plan B, you're diverted and you're working on half a heart. God, today we want your heart, Lord. We want to operate on a whole heart, Lord. I don't want God. I don't want, Lord, to be the way that I am. And I need your help today. God, keep me ever before you. Let your word, God, come back to my mind quicker, Lord. Let the love that you have for me be ever pumping life into my heart and my mind. God, my passions, I want my passions to run through the filter of you first. Oh, God, today, Lord, we recommit ourselves to you, God. With a passion, God, that you come first. Lord, I just thank you today for every man who's made a commitment over his home and his family to love the way that you love. God, give them strength in this world that beats down men and tries to steal from them the place that you have for them. God, restore that over every home today, Lord. Let us be passionate for you, God. We thank you for that, Lord. We affirm it today in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. And I just want to tell you, Philippians 2:14, God is in me. I can do his will. God's in you. You can do this. Right? Amen. I'm going to ask that those who have an ugly tie on today, if you'll just come and stand at the front, and those who are judges, I think you've already got your pads, if you'll all just come quickly.